Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Cliff.
And I'm Aaron.
We have two new guests today. We have Cliff and Aaron from the Predator Minute.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Save it. We haven't gotten to that part yet.
We're from Florida, so it's natural.
They already think that we're going to have something like this going.
Is the Predator Minute called If It Bleeds, It Can Minute?
No, that's good.
You just made me realize we failed.
We already lost. Well, let's have a third Predator podcast. That's what this
that's all we need.
Yeah.
You lose.
Predator Hour.
You can just go from the last minute backwards to the front.
Exactly.
Re-Predator Minute.
Or only do the bad Predator movies, you know?
You mean the Predator movies?
Yeah.
I was waiting for that one.
Everything but the first Predator, yeah.
Everything but the first one.
All right, let me introduce you WDB style. Here you go. If you're in trouble in the jungle, he'll be there on the double with his Gatlin minigun. From the Predator Minute, first-time guest, Cliff Stevenson.
From parts unknown. You mess with me?
Yeah, from parts.
You mess with me, I take down the trees.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Thanks, you ain't got time to bleed.
No time to bleed.
I got 2 minutes to bleed.
All right. And here's the other intro. He's the Dylan to Steve is Dutch, or maybe the other way around. We'll find out from our other first-time guest, Aaron Landerville of the Predator 2 Minute forthcoming.
Ooh, yeah.
I like that I just told you.
Predator got you pushing too many pencils.
Predator Minute, too.
Yeah, Predator 2 Minute.
It's too late. Now we have to record it. Thanks.
No, you don't have to. Nothing done on this show is binding, so it's all goofs. It's all goof 'em ups. Welcome, Cliff, Aaron. Thank you guys for coming on the show. This is going to be so much fun. Love your podcast. You're one of the freshman class. Welcome.
Thank you.
We love you. At time of this taping, you guys are like, what, 38, 39 minutes in-ish?
That's about right. I think we're 49 minutes in.
Yeah. We did our 50th, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, awesome.
But
that'll
come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is minute 31. Minute 31 begins where we left off on Friday with Swanbeck summing up his plan for Naya and ends with Naya looking at photos of what? We don't know yet. That's where we are. So since you guys are new, we're going to start first, introduce you guys, and maybe you guys can explain to us your history with this movie, if you have any at all.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
It's a sordid history, but a good one. So I'm old enough, as some of your listeners may be, to actually remember the original Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. And so I was very taken with the first film.
Yes.
When it came out. I just thought it was awesome take. If you're a little bit younger, I think that you probably think of Tom Cruise differently than if you're in our age group, wherein your first interaction with him was probably Top Gun.
Oh, or yeah.
One of those films. And in those, he is just a hero to our people, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought it was great to have him be in this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think, I remember seeing the first Mission Impossible in theaters. The second one, I mean, the subsequent ones, I think I probably watched while doing something else on, you know, Amazon or something like that. So I don't really, I think I saw the second one. I don't really recall what was going on in it. So I did
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. I did a little bit of research into the plot and just to refamiliarize myself. But we'll see how we do.
I think most people who actually saw the second one can't really recall the plot either, so it's not really a big deal.
I assume there was some sort of mission that was extremely difficult, almost to the point of being...
It was impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Well, it's not called Mission Difficult. It's called Mission Impossible.
We just had that line. That's the last part of that just is in your minute.
Exactly.
With Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yes. Yep. Which was a guest cameo, like uncredited cameo, apparently.
We talked about a lot last week. Yeah, he's uncredited even though he's in the trailer. So figure that out.
like most of his scenes are in the trailer, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and he's not like someone who can sneak by. You know, no. It's not like when John Wayne was Grindin or something like, I didn't even realize. Like that, he's right up front and he's doing his best Anthony Hopkins impression. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's really doing it. Like, he's not hidden in who he's
That happened one time. I was watching a movie when I was younger. I still one of my favorites. It's called Winchester 57. And it's a Jimmy Stewart movie, you know, cowboy movie. And in the middle of the movie, they meet this guy. And it's Tony Curtis. And I'm like, hey, that's Tony Curtis. And he's not anybody at that point. He is like a wet behind the ears kid. I think in the thing, he's like, was Anthony Curtis was his name in the movie. I'm just like, what is Tony Curtis doing in this movie? He's awesome. I love Tony Curtis. So, yeah.
You made me think of Mr. Short-Term Memory there with Tom Hanks. Hey, Tony Randall.
Tony Randall.
So one of the things that, if you're going through this, that I was thinking of immediately watching it, was that we get this shot not long after the Anthony Hopkins part where it's Tom Cruise walking slowly and dramatically with his profile showing. And I started to really think about you guys. You must be the world's leading experts on Tom Cruise's profile. Like the side effects. Like you would probably notice if one thing was amiss. Like, that's weird, his left nostril slightly flared. Because I know how much he loves having that shot.
Yes.
Well, that was like most of the posters for the Mission Impossible movies to begin with. For the first one, the second one, I think the third one. It wasn't until, I think, Ghost Protocol that they started to change the half profile to his full face.
We've had enough of the nose, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there's more than enough cliffs in this movie, so we don't need another cliff from his nose. He it's weird. I think I don't know what they were doing with that side of his face.
Is it the same side?
It reminds me of actually the Pam Grier shot from
Jackie Brown.
From Jackie Brown, where she's on the People Mover at the beginning when the credits are going, where we're just basically marveling at her perfect profile,
which is similar to the shot in The Graduate. You know, it's that shot of Benji on the trail, you know, the rail thing as well. He's very similar, but yeah, no, exactly. I think, and the thing is that the shot ends up taking up like almost half of this minute, basically almost a third of this minute.
Yeah,
it's so slow and
14:30.
Yeah, exactly. Hang it's on, just that slow motion that Wu does, and Tom is soaking it up. It seems.
In this scene, it's weird. You guys have some of the darkest scenes. Sorry, there's not a lot of light till the end of the week. This week is very dim.
We were caught in darkness multiple.
Well, we got a fire though.
Right?
I mean,
is that the right film?
What's that?
Sorry, I was doing Batman. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we know what you were doing.
He doesn't. Aaron, I mean, he's got kids, so you know.
Don't gatekeep movie.
I've got three kids to feed.
You need to watch more movies, man.
No. They do sleep, right? I mean, you can watch movies then. Or are you sleeping then?
He watched Scooby-Doo and the Pirate Zombie Island. 15
mostly, mostly
times.
Teen Titans Go, Amazing World of Gumball.
Anything with a little desk lamp jumping around, right?
Yeah.
Well, Pixar movies? Yeah.
Mission Impossible 4, I think. What,
yeah, what Mission Impossible 4.
Probably. And Chris, this pretty much solidifies, I still hate Swanbeck.
Yeah.
I don't like this guy at all. He's a jerk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't think he's a jerk? He's a jerk.
I don't know the context because it's, that's Anthony Hopkins' character, right? I mean,
so. All right, Aaron, I'm going to tell you now, he's a jerk.
He's like a jerk that we won't have to see after this for probably another hour and 20 minutes.
We talked about this last week, but his character in this is most of the time in Mission Impossible movies, the higher ups are not this against him. I mean, in the first movie, Kittredge is trying to catch him, but that's because Kittredge thinks he's a mole. That's different.
That's the same in the third movie, though.
I mean,
yeah, I guess I take it back then. I take it back.
Well, is that a thing in the Mission Impossible series? Like the disavowed agent and the higher ups always trying to just, you know.
Oh, yeah. He goes rogue in every movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
he goes rogue quite a bit.
You would think after a while they would just be, oh, he's gone rogue again? Oh, okay. Well, let him go, you know.
Well, in the most recent Fallout movie, they actually bring it up. They have our bad guy, spoiler if you haven't seen Fallout, say, he goes, how many times has this man been disavowed by his own country? What does that do to a person? And it's like, yeah. What does that do to a person? He's been hunted four out of the five movies.
Yeah. Eventually he just joined some weird religion or something.
Wonder what his political views are.
Oh, God.
We know. We all know what his political views are. Well, not political. We know what his religious views are. His political. He never talks. You notice he never talks about politics. Thank God.
No, yeah. No. He's smart. He's very smart.
Zenu be praised. Yes. No. Yeah. No politics from that guy.
So it should be mentioned that both Aaron and I live within half an hour of Scientology's headquarters.
Yes. Yes. The fake buildings and all.
Yeah. So. I thought in honor of that, we would have a fake Scientology fact.
Oh, no.
Per day.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah, what's that? They're back. The Scientology facts are back.
Are you wearing a rubber mask? Are you Rob Lumley from the Titanic Minute? Okay, yes, you can have a fact.
So Tom Cruise's hair is the official Scientology hair. Ah. At first I thought it was a John Woo thing because his hair is extremely reminiscent of Chow Yun-Fat's hair in some of his films. It's like this multi, you know, glowing.
It's a power mullet. That's what it is.
Actually, you're right. I remember running into a guy in Ybor City who wanted to talk to me about Scientology. He actually looked a little bit like Tom Cruise.
It was probably Tom Cruise.
He had that hair. I mean,
was he a little guy?
This movie. Yeah, he was a little guy, but he wasn't Tom Cruise. But it was like, you know, I was just
was Crom
like,
Tooth.
Oh, yeah, I don't have time for this. And Crom he kind Cruise, of rolled his eyes and, you know, whatever.
Did you join?
Just for a second.
Yeah. It's worth trying it for a second.
Just dip your toe in.
Yeah, I dipped my toe in. It was too cold.
Oh.
It didn't feel right.
Brutal. Yeah. Brutal burn on Scientology
Brutal
there.
Burn.
But I really love his hair. Maybe. It was something that really grabbed me from this minute because I'm just not used to seeing Tom Cruise with this hairstyle.
Yeah.
And
not unless you watch
Legends.
Well,
she's had high and tight for so long.
That's true. Right.
That's true.
It's been like 20 years. Well, it has. It's been 18 years since this movie.
And before this, it was Legend, I think, was the movie that he had it in long before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it wasn't as flowy, if that makes sense.
No, it was more stringy in Legend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's really young then.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God.
How old is he in this film?
Well, has he aged? Has he aged?
He's in his mid-50s now, so this was almost 20 years ago. So he had to be in his mid-30s.
Yeah, he was mid-30s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he doesn't look very different.
He never looks different. He honestly looks
because he's like Sean Connery age when he was doing like Diamonds Are Forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, but Sean Connery looked old because he was losing his hair.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Tom isn't losing his hair. So, but you think about that. There's all these actors that we looked at as kids that were like old and they looked old. But they're the same age as like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt,
or too old.
Hey,
too old to begin the training, or they're younger than us.
Exactly, which is even scarier.
I'll bring this. So John Travolta, just take a look at his hair, and
who also lives here.
What's that?
He also lives here.
Yeah, and maybe there's something to Scientology and youthfulness in hair. You know, lots of hair.
Well,
I'm in.
John Travolta's not really selling his hair as much as Tom Cruise is.
No, I don't think he's as high up of a level as Tom is.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Maybe it's all the x-rays because he likes to fly a lot. I don't know.
It looks like Michael Scott in that first episode of The Office. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, thinning hair.
like he looks like he got plugs or something. It's awful. Don't come kill me, John Travolta, please. I love you in Greece and Urban Cowboy.
Basically, Stay Swanbeck alive. Says to Ethan that he's basically saying, I don't care what you think you have to do. You just have to get her to go to Ambrose. I don't care. And this is the same thing he said last week. He's like, it's a woman. She has to lie and go to bed with a man. It's what a woman does. And you're like, whoa. Yeah. Back up. Pump the brakes movie.
Yeah,
Pump the brakes movie.
This is not 007, son.
Yeah, that's right. And well before the Me Too movement.
Yeah, but and obviously it'll come up in later minutes that he takes his own sort of tack in doing this, because in a sense he is still convincing her,
and he just had sex with her.
Oh, okay.
This day,
yeah.
So earlier in the morning, yes,
yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, he didn't just walk away; he stuck around.
He had a webinar.
Yeah. Okay.
He had a webinar.
Got her to convert to Scientology and then asked her on a mission.
And then the other thing that kind of stood out for me, even though we're sort of jumping around, is that he's in that slow motion scene. He's going by this sort of stick pile. And it looks like a burning asterisk.
That's Scientology.
That is so weird. And there's people with torches moving around in circles out there. There's no sound. You can't hear out there what's going on.
No, it's a Spanish festival.
Okay,
like
that's
a,
right.
Because like
she's
saint,
in Spain operating
like a
Spain,
saint, like a saint festival.
Asterisk.
Like Saint Asterix. this is the saint that says, "I'll take care of everything," and then it's like Asterix.
It looks like the little crystal ship that Superman came in. In the first movie. That's what it looks like.
A little crossover there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
same universe.
In the same universe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Is there going to be I hope a little kid doesn't jump out of it naked here in a second, because I'm not prepared for
that. I'm not prepared for that either. No, it's just Tom Cruise jumping out naked.
I'm fully prepared. Scientology fact. Ready. They do that every 2 years.
Oh. Jump out of AIDS?
Jump out of a giant asterisk?
Yeah, they jump out of a giant asterisk. Yeah. Scared
a giant
children.
Burning asterisk.
It's a festival. I love it.
Three-dimensional burning asterisk. What would that shape be called?
Yeah. I actually tried to look that up and realized I was getting nowhere with my searches.
What did you look up? Giant burning asterisks?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they just recommended some creams to me.
Yeah, if your asterisk is burning, you got to
get on top of that real quick.
I mean, honestly, it ended up working out for me in the end,
right?
So to speak.
Right.
What are we talking about?
If it bleeds, you can kill it, you know.
Oh, no.
But
we haven't gotten that far in the film,
is there
so
any,
that's a spoiler.
Is there anything, did John Woo mention why there's a giant burning asterisk?
I didn't watch every single thing John Woo's ever said.
I actually missed this little section because I don't think he's talking about the asterisks. I think he's talking about Ethan's inner turmoil and the asterisks and the fire being behind him, representing his...
Oh,
his conflict,
conflicting.
You know? Yes.
Ah.
Well, in the script, at this point, on his way into the meeting with Swanbeck, he was looking at flowers for Naya, and in the screenplay, as he leaves, the guy's like, "Oh, do you want your flowers?" And he's like, "No, those are nice." And he walks away like, "I was kind of lovey dovey before, and Swanbeck has literally put me off of even romantic, because now I've got to go force this woman to basically go back into an abusive relationship."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So yeah, now he's kind of like, I'm not feeling the flowers anymore.
And I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but I do think that Tom Cruise does an excellent job of sort of wearing his heart on his sleeve, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Selling emotions wordlessly. It's something we have to deal with a lot.
He's a really good
actor, we watch because it's just not a lot of dialogue, and we're asking these guys that are more known for their muscles to act without any dialogue and just express everything through their face. And so Tom Cruise does occasionally get dumped on for, you know, his acting, but I see some real skill in what he's doing right now, because it's immediately apparent that that's what's going on, even if someone jumping in.
I think that, you know, as we go through the series, and especially now that the last movie's come out, we see that his character is very much... one of those characters and people that act towards the people that he's around and tries to protect him more than most spy people would, you know, most spy agents or people in these movies would. And they make a big point of that in the last film as well.
The point is he cares about the one and the million.
Yeah.
And where I don't have to. And that's the point. Most spies have given up that part of their humanity. They can no longer care about a single individual. They care about, you know, it's the Spock thing. It's the Star Trek thing. It's that lives of the many outweigh the lives of the few. And he's
Jim.
One of the...
Sorry. Oh. I automatically go into the quote. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Or
the one.
Spock.
Spock. Ship out of danger.
You say the ship.
Spock.
Welcome back to Wrath of Khan Minute.
Oh my God. If they weren't already doing that, I would be all over that.
Oh my God.
I know you would be, man.
It's unbelievable. I'd never get out of an episode. You know what I mean? Each one would be 2.5 hours long.
Yep.
Exactly.
It'd just be me doing bits just the whole time.
Anyway, but you're right. I do think you can compare and contrast that to like a Bourne movie or something like that, where there's not
even
much character
film,
progression.
You know?
Yeah, obviously, by design, there's no character progression in those.
True. And also, I would never say any of them are standout actors. They're all good actors, but you never go, man, I felt so much from James Bond. He's such a closed off.
Well, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, that's true. He's like
Timothy Dalton. I love Timothy Dalton.
Oh, yeah,
he's angry.
But, yeah,
he's angry.
Yeah. He's in my top 10 favorite Bonds.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's sass. what that is.
I have to mention, though, is this good, like, good character continuity from the first Mission Impossible? Because
No.
Well, in that one, he loses his entire team at the beginning, right?
Spoiler alert.
You should have seen that.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're all good with it. You've heard it. No, it's one of those things where tonally... No, this is a different movie. This is a different Ethan. We all deal with it because once we get to three, it all kind of evens out into what Ethan is. Mm-hmm. And I think that carries through. This movie, he's kind of this lovelorn puppy dog. He gets angry about stuff, but it's not as – I don't know. It just doesn't seem as deep. He's a good actor, and he's portraying it well. Mm-hmm. I don't think the character of Ethan at this point is still fleshed out. He wasn't right in the first one either. He was a film noir, action movie, spy movie character. He wasn't much of anything.
Right.
Yeah. I think they were pulling a lot from the original.
This is definitely more of a turn towards where he is now as a character. This is kind of that first baby step towards it, I think. And the third film really, really pushed it further.
Yeah. And I think the third film was the first time. Well, the third time we see him cry in the third movie. We see him get married. We see him fall in love. All these things happen in a movie about Mission Impossible. That is not all we see here. Is he kind of has sex with Naya and he's into her. That's all we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the true impossible mission.
Now, is she actually an artificially intelligent automaton in this, or is this
a Westworld reference?
Westworld thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, guess what? Someone's already made it. Yeah.
And knew that was coming.
I think we had a whole minute on that. You know,
minute. We had a week. Two.
That's
a week.
So 2 weeks of it. Yeah, you're right.
Because when they were talking about having sex, she's a pleasure robot. And it's all
stuff. At least we stayed.
And
away
the fact
from
that Anthony Hopkins shows up as well makes it even weirder.
Oh yeah.
You know.
But she, at the end of this minute, what you guys are referencing is she's looking at photos of the crash, mm-hmm. and we don't really know that yet, mm-hmm. but she is looking at those. The crash that she's looking at, that's the first time we've seen it, and I was like, God, the IMF covered that whole thing up. Now, obviously they didn't cover it up in that you don't just tell the people whose families were on there. Never mind, it didn't happen. They just tell them like it's like engine failure, right? Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
As having worked for the IMF, I would say yes, that's correct.
Oh, the Impossible Mission Force?
Or the International Monetary Fund. Yeah.
Which is also the Impossible Mission Force, I guess.
The International Mother... Oh, hang on now.
Ooh,
I'm just talking about Shaft.
Just talking about Shaft, baby. Watch your mouth.
Intimidating MF.
It is odd that she's looking at it in black and white. Like, where did their super satellite abilities fail them? Like, they go, and we'll see in future minutes stuff, they have some pretty sweet technology. What's with the black and white photos? Like, is that really? That's where, why did you
were
get this?
Who took these?
Yeah, they were like artistically
really,
taken.
Really, really cold. Like,
oh, it's just cold.
I just thought it was just that it was the mountains and the
there just wasn't much to see.
Like it was a cool color temperature in the photo, just accentuating.
Someone put it through like an Instagram filter and they were like, thanks.
They had, Ansel Adams came out and shot them for him. Nice.
Very nice contrast.
Beautiful mountains.
Good. Yeah, it just seemed weird. I was like, you could see more, you know, if you had a better photo. But
yeah, we'll see more of those photos tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is a good place. This is a good place to pull this on you guys. Every episode, we do a tech of the ep. Ooh, here we are. It's so cold. It's so cold in here. Just like those pictures. Chris, turn up the heat in here. Oh, great. Great Foley work. Thanks. Chris, what about you? You want to go first? What's your tech of the
year? Sure. I'm going to go with the tech that these guys had mentioned earlier, which is the Scientology hair. I'm going with Tom Cruise's Scientology hair for this one.
I have a feeling our Tech of the App t-shirt for this season is definitely going to have that hair silhouette mm-hmm.
so
on it.
Beautiful.
So I'm with you on that.
I mean, because even in the poster for this, it was like flowing back and everything. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it looked like a gorgeous lion.
Yes, he did. He was like the Lion King.
There's like eight Simba. Different waves in it. Yeah. Like, it's unbelievable. I say this as a bald man, so I have a certain eye for hair.
Admiration.
I really see hair like as a special, you know,
Cliff's
thing.
Just jealous. He's looking at it like, there's eight different curls in that hair. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Even Anthony Hopkins was like, sweet hair, bro.
they probably had like a 50 person hair team just for him.
Anthony Hopkins has never heard that, yeah. Cliff. Sweet yeah. hair, bro.
Yeah. I'm sitting there
with Picard. He was on a Transformers movie, so we had to hear it from Michael Bay. Come on. That's like Michael Bay's signature thing.
From Marky Mark. Hey, bro.
Marky Mark.
Let me talk about your hair. Hey, bro.
Yeah, because Marky Mark hated his hair in that movie, so come on. He had to
tell
talk about everybody's hair.
Optimus Prime had the best hair in that movie. We all know that.
Of course. Not those dreaded robots that had the dreads. Those ones had the best hair.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Woodwicky, can you get me some sort of VO5 hot oil? At the Rite Aid.
I'm about to do a Starscream, but I'm worried that we're just going to lose like 12 listeners.
Starscream, just get really far away from the microphone and you'll be able to do it.
It's no problem. I'll take care of it from here. I'll get you your hair, you jerk. Cobra Commander.
I'm so confused. I thought Cobra Commander was here for a minute.
It's the same voice.
Yeah. You don't. Now we're doing Skeletor, I'm just to say. It's
all the same.
You dunderhead.
They're all the same.
I think they're all the same voice. All the bad guys had that same voice in the 80s.
What's that guy from? Do you remember? All right, we're way off topic, but this is actually something I brought up.
This is where we live.
Do you remember that show, Cops? It was not Bad Boys, but they were like...
No, the cartoon. Yeah.
So remember there was like the second in command of the bad guys, and they were like... He had that really nasally voice. I'm pretty much convinced that's who did all the voices for everyone. He's like, but Mr. Big Boss, we've got a problem over here. I'm like, that must be the same guy who did all his voice because it's so out of control. I'm sure Weiss will know this.
Let me put this in the notes to make sure that when we do this that day, I'll put up Cops.
Yeah.
It's C.O.P.S. Yeah.
It's standard for something stupid. Cybernetic Operations Police System. And it was Uncle Big Boss.
Big Boss.
We're going to get Weissel in here now. One of our friends is a writer on Rick and Morty, and now he has a show called Hot Streets. I know I'm randomly just doing plugs now. But check out Hot Streets on Adult Swim. And anyway, that was his favorite thing to do in the world, was the Big Boss impression. So shouts out to Brian Weissel.
Oh, yeah, Brian.
Going back on topic a little bit, sure. I'm going to go with the camera, the Minolta LCD digital camera.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which for 2000, that thing's a honking mess. That thing's huge.
Yeah. I literally thought it was an Xbox controller the second it came out. I was like, was that a... Oh, no. I see what it is. I don't know. I just looked at it. I was like, oh, an Xbox. Oh, right, I see what it is. Right. I was incredibly impressed with the... whatever they were using for video conferencing, how well the Anthony Hopkins video conference was. Like... He had managed to get himself into sort of a black background. You know what I mean? He did a lot of work to make himself come across. He's right in the front
really
of the screen.
There.
Yeah, he's
Cliff.
Perfectly.
Cliff, he's really there.
Oh.
It's not just really good tech. He's actually,
No, he's there, Cliff.
Yeah. Well, that's
the
my
technology
tech.
Was so awesome, he was actually there.
That's how I
So your technology is ignorance of the movie structure. All right.
I stand by my statement. I never roll anything back.
Well, I've got,
it's weak.
I'll just go ahead with mine. I have to say the burning three-dimensional asterisk or the dodecahedron.
That thing's so cool. Well, I can't believe Cliff didn't go with it. It wouldn't have sounded so stupid.
I was hoping it would that.
But that's my trademark.
Dodecahedric?
It's definitely a 12-sided die.
The thing is awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And at the end, we just decide which one we... it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to move on.
Oi!
Which one we liked better? I'm going to put it out to the audience, and everyone pick mine just to make me like a comeback. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Well, maybe Hopkins. In our Facebook group, maybe you'll get a groundswell of
support
of people, of sympathy.
All my fellow dummies, John, join in. Sort of dummy revolution.
Dummies unite.
We'll call it Scientology. Oh, sick burn on Scientology.
Burn. Take that microphone, throw it on the ground.
Oh, we're gonna get murdered. We live right next to.
Don't do that. It'll make the dogs.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah.
Cliff is awash in chihuahuas.
Yes, and a
that's
chug.
Not a euphemism.
I wish it was. I'd like to know what it stood for. What's up, ladies? I'm awash in chihuahuas, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
My head's smooth, and I know who Starscream is. Yeah. So.
And Uncle Big Boss.
Yeah, he's date material for sure.
Yeah. Ladies.
Okay.
So, hey guys, thank you so much for being on. You guys have done a great job so far. I've thrown a lot of stuff at you. The claps at the beginning, that's really hard for a lot of people. You guys nailed it.
I did my butt.
Tech of the ep, 50% of you did your homework. The other 50% of you just really just shat the bed.
That's Aaron pretty average. That's pretty average. Yeah.
Tell everybody where you guys are so they can find your podcast.
Yeah, you can find us on PrayerMinute.com. Mm-hmm. You can search us on SoundCloud for Prayer Minute. Keep in mind, there are two of them. Ours is the second best one, or it's in the top two anyway. And we're the ones holding drinks up in the picture. I think on Twitter we're Minute Predator, but either way, both podcasts are wonderful, so check them both out.
Yeah, we try really hard.
We got a participation trophy this year.
What a bizarre way to promote your own show. Hey guys, we try really hard.
We cry almost all the time.
We show up.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Half the time.
You can find us at the normal places like MinuteImpossible.com. Our entire season and back catalog is there. Go listen to it. We're on every podcatcher out there. And if you guys want to talk to us on Facebook, we'll be there. I'm going to invite Cliff and Aaron tonight, right after this episode, and they'll be in the group, and they can talk about all the crap that we talk about.
We always talk there about stuff.
At the Impossible Minute Force. So find us there on Facebook and Twitter at Min Impossible, M-I-N Impossible. And until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I'm still Cliff.
And I'm Aaron.
This minute will self-destruct. You can make like explosion noises. Perfect.
See you next time on the show. It's done. It was so fun. Thanks for listening to Minute Impossible.